I'm tearing up already. But I think it's because I have a cold. Today's Father's Day, and we celebrate fathers today. And we honor you men who have done so much for your families. You know, Venice has great fathers. I'm so thankful to be amongst a group of men who are so devoted to their families and so dedicated to their spouses and really can make a significant and open contribution to family life. And so those of you who are fathers, we welcome you and we honor you today because you're doing such a great job. And I just, part of the strength of, we have a lot of strengths in our church, but one of them is we have great fathers in our church. And you know, when you're a great father to your family, you're a great father. It contributes to our church and also contributes to our community. You know, it has effects beyond, you know, just your immediate family. And so it's God's good as part of that. We're going to look at the Bible today about the important role that each father plays in his family. So I invite you to turn to the book of Genesis. That's the first book in the Bible, to chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, we're going to talk about Noah today and what he did to give his family a legacy of life. A legacy of life, not a prescription of doom or despair, but a legacy of life. Excuse me if I drink water during the message. I'm really struggling with my voice this morning. Some of you might think it sounds better, but you know. So we honor all fathers today. Genesis chapter 6, we all are very familiar with the flood story. It's really interesting that so many of the, even the pagan religions have flood stories in their lore, in their background. And it's almost like confirmation that it really happened, you know, that there was a flood. And so many of the other religions, especially the ancient ones, have flood stories in their story. And so it just tells us again that, yeah, it really did happen. And so here's why. And we know why it happened and to whom it happened and who surfaced out of that. And and so there was a flood. And, of course, it was very dangerous. Many people were killed because of the flood. But at the end of the story, in Genesis chapter 9, it says that, then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. And so one family came out of that flood just blessed. And so I want to focus on how to be blessed, why God blessed Noah, and how God can bless you as men of faith, as fathers, as husbands in our families. And so Noah's story is really important to us because we can learn how to bless our families so that God says to us at the end of a story, and God blessed, put your own name there. God bless Jason, God bless Eric, God bless Mark, God bless Gary, God bless, and because of that, you know, his family was blessed. And so I want your name in there. And as we look at that, Noah's life and actions could tell us a lot, because Noah's life and actions saved his family. Noah's life. It wasn't just one decision, but his life and actions saved his family. So what did Noah do to protect his sons and his family? I'm not going to read through the whole three chapters of the flood story, but just pick out certain highlights of that flood story. The Lord decided that, you know, he was just grieved that the people were so evil and wicked. You know, wickedness starts when a person turns his heart away from God. That's where wickedness starts. Not just a behavior of wickedness. It's a turn your heart away from God, ignore God, even defy what God has to say. And then when we are in that position, that's where wickedness starts. Of course, the progression of wickedness is always that once in our hearts we defy God, it turns to affect our minds. And then our minds start to think darkly. And when our minds start to think darkly, we start to think selfishly. We start to think only of ourselves. We start to think in terms of, you ever caught yourself thinking, wait a minute, I can't, you have hard thoughts about someone. You ever caught yourself thinking, oh man, why am I keep thinking that way? Well, that's what dark thinking is, you know, where you see the bad, or you see only see the difficult, or only see what you can be critical about. So it starts with the heart, then to the mind, and then it goes to our behavior, because our whole being is starting to be encompassed or surrounded or, you know, by this darkness. And then of course, it goes to our behavior. And we think selfishly, or we become hurtful. And so when the Bible talks about wickedness, that's what it means. Okay, the men were wicked. It may not necessarily mean that their behavior was really atrocious, but it does tell us that they had turned away from God. And in turning away from God, that starts the progression. And so probably the behavior was very hurtful. And so that's how the whole progression gets started. At the heart, they were very selfish, rebellious against God, and hurtful to others. Noah recognized the danger of their attitude. And he said, wait a minute. They're turning away from God. Not only turning away from, and you know, you see the behaviors and you think, well, socially we have to counteract the behaviors. But Noah saw the trail back to the motives and back to the heart and back to the intent. Their heart was dark because they had turned away from God. And so he said, I'm not going to do that. Noah, in verse 9 of chapter 6, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked with God. He was going to walk with God, no matter if the whole culture, no matter if the whole society turned away. He was going to walk with God. He was going to be faithful to the Lord. He did not adopt the hard attitude of the people around him. He saw how empty their lives were without God. And he knew that. And he said to himself, it doesn't say this in the scriptures, but you can just imagine him saying to himself, I'm not going to live like that. I don't want my children to be left with those attitudes and that lifestyle. I want them to have a better kind of attitude. I want them to have a bright heart and not a dark heart. I want them to enjoy life. I want to give them a legacy of life, not a legacy of doom. And so he knew that the answer to that was to follow God. Starts from the heart, goes through the mind, and then, of course, behavior. You know, following the Lord is hard, especially if our whole culture is against it. I don't know that we completely understand that here, because our culture is pretty much, although it's getting less and less so, pretty much a Christian culture, but we have a lot of foundation in Christian culture. But it's hard, especially if our culture, the one we're familiar with, calls us back to the unhealthy life. You know, if you're trying to break out of bad habits and a bad life and your friends are all into that lifestyle, you know, it's a struggle, because you almost have to think, man, I have to give up my friends in order to embrace the new lifestyle because my friends are so dark. Well, sometimes that's true. Some of you are dealing with that because even your family, whom you cannot disconnect from, you know, your family life is so dark. And your family draws you back or pulls you back into the unhealthy lifestyle. And that's really difficult in those situations. So if you face that, if you know the difficulty of that, and I hope we all do, because I hope we all have friends that are non-Christians and who aren't believers, so that we can influence them. But sometimes they influence us. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Sure, they influence us. Well, then you can understand Noah's predicament, Noah's condition, Noah's situation, because Noah lived in a culture that turned their heart away from God. And so he had to live with God at the same time, realizing that everybody, all his friends, people who worked with him, everybody was against whom he worshipped. But he did it. He knew society's attitude and behaviors would lead to the demise of his family, so he chose God instead. Beloved, this is what great fathers do. They recognize the dangers around them. They recognize the dangers. That's Psalm 1:1-6. If you don't know any scriptures in the Bible, learn that one. The chapter 1 of Psalm. Learn Psalm 1. In fact, I would really love to you to learn it, because I was forced to learn it growing up. When we had to recite that every morning before dinner. I mean, every evening before dinner. And we couldn't eat dinner until we recited the whole thing. But you know, it ground into us life principles. It really did. It grounded into life. Ground into us life principles. Blessed is the man who does not walk with the wicked. See, blessed, happy, receiving God's benefit. Seeing God do something in your life is the man who does not walk with the wicked. Oh, that's a great, you know, memorize Psalm chapter 1. Because it says further on, the way of the wicked will perish, simply. The way of the wicked will perish. And I hope we know that. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. A godly father sees the dangers and warns his family and protects his family. Not just verbally, but with his life. Noah chose life and lived that life counter to his culture. And she gave his children a wonderful example of what it is to live in faith. Equip your children, beloved, before life's difficulties hit them. Because I guarantee You know, when your children are like, oh, they're so precious. You know, you can't see them doing any kind of wrong. Oh, they're just so beloved. Pretty soon when they reach about 18 months or 2 years old, you start seeing, well, maybe they will do some stuff wrong. That's wrong, you know. But they're so precious. How can they ever get? I'll take care of them. I'll be the one. But when they get a little bit older, they're going to need spiritual faith peers to help them walk along because they listen less and less to us. Isn't that true? That's normal, okay? That's normal. If your children listen less and less to you, that's normal. Because they have to figure out life for themselves. But that's when you want to have their peers kick in. And your peers tell them, you know, have a faith. Trust in God. Don't do that. Your peers start saying what you said as you help them grow. Equip your children before life's difficulties. I've had to minister to, and so has our youth ministries. Linda has ministered to people. We do that all the time. Children, youth, who don't have that foundation, and it's harder. It's just harder to give them that foundation. It's just harder because they don't have, you know, I walk into church this morning thinking, I was singing, preparing my voice, but, you know, I was just singing old hymns that I had when I learned when I was a kid. You know, there's a foundation there. There's a history. There's a memory there. That when we need it, it comes up and the Holy Spirit prompts it. It brings it into our minds and it's there. We have it. Thank God for that. Amen? But you got to expose them when they're little. My grandkids sing, Jesus loves me. I says, all right. Cool. I want them to have that foundation and my children are giving them those foundations. So equip your children before life difficulties hit them. Because there's a lot of dangers in our culture. And they seem like they hit most when the children turn around 12, 13, 14, 15, and going into teenage years. Can I hear? Yeah, I understand you. Can I? Are you with me? Sure. That's when there's dangers of selfishness, dangers of drugs, dangers of disrespect for authority, dangers of pridefulness. Just like we show our children how to handle a sharp knife, we got to show them the other dangers too. You know, don't mess with that. Okay, this is the way to handle that. You're going to see these all your life, so handle it this way. You know what I'm saying? You can see sharp knives all the time. So you don't grab it by the blade. You know, you grab it by the handle. Turn the sharp end away from you. When you wash it, do it this way. You know, we teach them how to handle a sharp knife. Well, teach them how to handle other life dangers too. Because they're going to come. They're going to come. That's what fathers are called to do, to protect their children from the dangers of our culture. One of the worst ones now is internet. Internet is a great tool. It's a great tool. But it's also one of the worst ones. There is so much junk on the internet. You can learn how to commit suicide on the internet. You can learn how to be a terrorist on the internet. You can learn watch pornography on the internet. You can learn about demon worship on the internet. And there's a lot of junk out there. And you don't know what your child is just in his idle time, where they're going on that. It just draws them right in. Okay. Godly fathers is a way of the dangers the child faces. And so you can put those gates or, you know, on the child protection. My advocacy to parents, and I don't know, some of you parents do, aren't with me on this, and that's okay. You know, but my advocacy to parents, don't give your child a phone with a screen on it. Until they learn how to deal with what comes up on that screen. Okay, now it's okay to, if you want to have them in case of emergencies or that kind of, give them a child, but give them a flip phone. That's what they'll tell you. I need a phone just in case of emergencies. Okay, I'll give you a flip phone. Wait a minute. I want a phone that has a screen on it. No, you're not ready for that yet. It's okay just to say, you're not ready for that yet. Don't give your child a phone with a screen on it. They can text on a flip phone. They can text and they can call. But you know, they're not left to their own devices. I'm warning the world on the internet because you can go anywhere and get on the internet nowadays. But there are a lot of other dangers too. Secondly, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people, and he walked with God. Wow, what a great statement. All that we would all have that statement written about us. Blameless among the people. The values that he held to were values that guided his life. He was counter to his culture, took on different philosophy of life, philosophy of life. Noah chose life-giving beliefs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Counter to people who just want, I just want to complain because I'm just so fed up with life. Or I just want to whine because, you know, I never get what I want. Or just, no, come on, just get out of it. Rise above that. Choose life. Choose life. And for fathers to help their children choose life, they must choose life. We must choose life. Amen? Right? Isn't that right, guys? We have to choose life. We have to choose what to embrace and what to put down. Later in the Old Testament, Joshua says to the people, millions of people, says to the whole Israelite community, says, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Good man. He's a good man. He's leading not only his own family, but the whole community. Choose you. He recognizes that everybody has to make that choice. Who are you going to serve? We're going to serve the Lord. One of the best things you can do is to give your children the opportunity to choose Christ. It's more important than being successful. It's more important than being professional. It's more important than being healthy to choose Christ. That's one of the most important things you can do is help your children choose Christ. And that means we have to choose Christ. We have to choose to live the life of Christ, to make it consistent with what we say we believe. Amen? They must see it in the way, I don't know, figure out how to show it to them, how we treat others, what we do for our weekends, what we do for our vacations, where we go, serving in ministry, why we serve in ministry. Dad, how come you're gone again? Because, I get to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to come along with me? We're going to go to Mar Vista Garden and tell people about Jesus. Want to come with me? See, that's how they pick it up. That's how they learn. Because they see it in us. Do they see you? Do your children see you reading the Bible? Do your children see you praying? Not because we do it to show them, but they happen to walk in on us when we're doing so. They see a worn Bible on the lampstand next to our beds. Do our children see us helping the needy, serving Jesus? The reason I say this is because I've heard this too many times. I'm going to let my children choose their own faith when they get older. Their own faith when they get older. Beloved, if the choice was between a red velvet cake and a banana cream pie, go ahead. But life is much more serious than that. Because there's a lot of junk out there, isn't there? There are cults. There are dark beliefs. A lot of dark practices out there. I got some examples, but I'm running out of time. But let me tell you, there are a lot of dark things out there. And you're going to leave them to choose? No, men. We have to influence for Jesus. For Jesus. There's life only in Jesus. There's life in Jesus. Amen? There's life in Jesus. That's why Proverbs 2:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. That's why Deuteronomy 30 says, choose life so that you and your child may live. Your child, yes, will ultimately have to make his own choice to make it his own. That's very true. But we need to help them choose by showing them and teaching them their choice. Don't make the mistake by saying, I'm going to let them choose their own faith. Because there's too much junk out there to help them choose. I was a little bit cautious about doing this because I didn't want to make it look like I was bragging. But Suzanne said, go ahead and do it. So, and Suzanne is my best advice giver. And don't tell my college professor, my seminary professors, that I disrobed in public, all right? And I didn't want to wear it to make it look like, you know, to pat myself on the back. If I'm a good father, first of all, I had a good father. But more importantly, I had Jesus in my life. The best thing that happened to me, when I look at, we had a family dinner, lunch yesterday. I'm looking at my daughter and five grandkids running around. You know, and they're playing together. It's just so good. My two daughters love each other. My two son-in-laws, you know, we're all relating. The two son-in-laws, you know, we were waiting a little while, so they took the kids over to the park. I'm thinking, man, they married good husbands. They married good fathers. And I thought, whoa, this is such a, my father and mother were sitting there next to me. My brother was there next to me. I said, what a blessing. I admit that I've been blessed. But I'll tell you why I've been blessed. Because I've had the best Heavenly Father anybody could ever ask for. His name is Jesus. So I wear this in honor of our Lord Jesus Christ today. Because I've had the best dad. Because I've had the best dad. He showed me how to be a father. He gave me a great father. He gave me a great family to enjoy, but it's only because of Jesus. Beloved, show your children Jesus. Point them to Christ. It's not about us. It's about who they have in their hearts. And His name needs to be Jesus. Amen. Teach Him. Influence Him. Don't give me that. I'm going to let my child choose. Life is not red velvet cake and banana cream pie. There's a lot of darkness in our world. Thirdly, God gave Noah a task, and He built an ark. And you look at the dimensions of that ark. It's an ark. It's a big one. Three times as long as this building. About this wide. And how many more stories? It was a huge task. I would imagine nobody helped him. The estimate is it took about 100 years to build that. Imagine for that 100 years, everybody was saying, hey, Noah, what you building an ark for? What a fool. Imagine hearing that. Imagine he heard it for 100 years. Genesis 6:22 simply says, and Noah did all the Lord commanded. That's all it says. Noah did all the Lord commanded. Wow. All that time, people asking what a nutty thing he was doing. All that time being ridiculed. But he persevered. But because God called him to do the work, he did it. He had never seen a flood before. He never seen it rain that bad. But he did it simply because God told him. Noah showed his family a true faith in God. And you know what a true faith in God is? It lasts over many years. It lasts through the ridicule. And it lasts 3 years of hard work. That's a true faith. That's when you know your faith has walked me through. Your faith has gotten me through. If it's lasted a long time, if you've had to endure a lot because of it, and if you had to work hard through it, that's when you know it's a true faith. 2 Corinthians 12 says, the things that mark an apostle. In other words, that which makes it, this is how we know that the person truly has a gift of apostleship. Because a lot of people were claiming to have that gift of apostleship. But this one said, this is how you really know. It says, signs and wonders and miracles were done among you with great perseverance. In other words, over time, through questioning and doubt, even when it was hard. Because every gift, there's a part of it that's hard. It just is. Every gift. That's when you know the test that it's true. Same with fatherhood. Fatherhood lasts over many years, lasts through difficulty, even though the work is hard. I thought I was done when my girls got married. I thought, oh, I can relax now, I can kick back. You know? But you know, it seemed like they wanted me more then. Oh, shucks. No, I liked it. I loved it, in fact. And then when the grandkids started coming, you know, they wanted us more. Men, to be guardians of the family, must let children see our faith over the long run. Amen? Because that's when they'll know it's true. You ever been to a service or something like that when they're talking about somebody's life? And you ever heard this phrase? He or she was always there for me. You ever heard that phrase? Sure, I have too. Well, you know, I thought, how come they don't pick out particular instances? Well, it's almost like the particular instances blur over time. But every time a little incident came up, in the mind goes, man, my dad was for me, there for me. Man, my dad was 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 there for me. And so we can just kind of sum up that whole thing. I may not remember the particular instances, but when I needed him, he was there for me. Beloved, that takes time and repetition. That's why the same thing. Why Hebrews 12, the New Testament says, let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. We have to persevere. All right, guys? You know why that's important? Because we get discouraged. Don't we? We get discouraged. Sure we do. When you see your child kind of start to wander off, you get discouraged, don't we? Sure we do. The calling of God to us in Hebrews, let's run with perseverance. Hang in there. Hang in there. Because time will tell when we hang in there. Okay? Hold steady. Hold steady in your faith. Noah was the guardian of the family. And he led his children to follow Christ. And who walked out of the ark? Those 8 people. His 3 sons, their wives, his wife and he. They walked out of the ark. And God blessed them for that. The following chapters after that talks about the generations after that. That's the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament biblical way of saying, man, he was so blessed. Because look at all the generations that followed him. That's the Old Testament way of saying that. Fathers, let's stand up. I want to pray for you. Fathers, all you fathers, come on, stand up. All the fathers, stand up. Those of you around him, put your hand on him. Put your hand on him. We're going to pray for each of the men. Each of the men. We're going to pray for each of them. Because the journey sometimes gets long, but it's a rich, rich journey. Lord Jesus, pray for all our men, for the call of fatherhood upon them. Lord, Lord, give them great perseverance, give them great hope, give them great determination, give them a great relationship with you so they can pass it on to their children. We want them blessed, Lord. We want them blessed. Bless them beyond our understanding of what the blessing may be. In Jesus' name. We have a gift for you too. Ask the men. Yeah, stay up. And my father, stay standing. We have a gift for you. I'm going to ask the ushers to pass them out. We have, it says on here, blessed is the father who finds strength in the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ will help you persevere. He'll give you strength, give you faith. And so and when you use this, remember what it is. It is a multi. You gadget guys will love this kind of stuff. Okay, okay. There's a flashlight. There's a, if you open it up, there's a tool bits. There's a tape measure, and there's on the other side. There's more bits on it, and you can plug the bits, and then you can, you know, you'll love this kind of. You gadget guys would love this kind of stuff. All right, would you stand with me? We're out of time. Would you stand with me? As we receive the benediction. Lord Jesus, thank you for all the men in our church and what great fathers they are. We ask that you continue to bless them. Bless them, Lord. Help them to persevere. Help them to see it through. Keep them faith strong, Lord. Walk with them as they lead their families. And may their children all, Lord Jesus, embrace the faith. Embrace the faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. Have a great week.